Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Samach Ches. We begin a brand new perek, the fourth perek. It is called Beim HaMakasha. Now it deals primarily with the halacha of Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua, Pekua means birth, so it means an unborn animal found inside the mother animal after it was slaughtered. So the halacha is, we're going to see later on, tomorrow, we'll see it's based on a pasuk, behema ba behema. So if you find a behema within another animal which had undergone shechita, then that newly discovered, unborn animal is exempt from shechita, can be consumed without shechita. Now, according to some Rishonim, there's no din of Eberim Nachai, you can just pick off a piece, but according to others, you first have to terminate its life in some, you know, in some manner. Now, perhaps according to all, it would be an issue of Tzar Balachai, but in any case, in terms of, we're speaking in terms of, you know, strictly in terms of shechita requirements, the Ben Pekua does not require shechita. Now, according to Rav Meir, by the way, it depends if it's a full term, you know, if it's a full term animal in there, fully developed, then in that case it's not exempt through the mother's shechita. That exemption, you know, halacha only applies if it's not fully developed. Okay, in any case, let's work with a Ben Pekua that is mutter through shechita of the mother. Now, what happened? Behema HaMakasha. Kishoy is having hardship, meaning it's during labor. HaMakasha labor. So the mother animal is experiencing labor. Vahoytia Ubor, now the Ubor, the unborn, getting a little antsy in there, and he decides to stick his hand out with some, you know, fresh air. Vahoytia Ubor is Yodai. So the newborn, the unborn, sticks his hand outside of the mother, vechzir, and brings it back in. Mutar ba'achil, you can still eat it. In the Gemara, we're going to have a machloikis, actually, in terms of what the Mishnah had in mind. Meaning, the rest of the newborn, of course, is mutar. Because this extension of his hand does not affect his entirety. The question, however, is, what about the hand itself? Yeah, it left the mother, but it came back in. And it was inside the mother during the shechita of the mother. What is the status of that hand? According to some, it's mutter. According to others, no, once it left the area, it gained its own independence. In fact, it's like a trefa. It becomes like Eber Nachai. And it can't really benefit from the mother's shechita. It stays permanently asr. We'll see that in the Gemara. So the first halacha is where only the hand left the mother, but the rest of the ubar remained inside, remained in its unborn status. Next halacha, hoitzi es roishoy. However, if he stuck his head out, that accounts for an act of birth. That's like it was already birthed because the head is the primary of the whole thing. Even though he brought it back into the mother, and it was inside during the mother's shechita, it's as though he was already born, in which case, Rashi says, the mother animal shechita does not impact him anymore, he needs his own shechita. Okay, so halacha number one, a hand went out and came back in, it's still considered unborn. But if the head went out and came back in, it's already considered born. Concludes the Mishnah. Choytech me'ur bar shebe'me'yeo. Mutar ba'achila. A fellow decides to stick his hand in and detach some limbs of the ubar. Ubar is the unborn animal within the mother animal. Me'ur shebe'me'yeo, within the mother's womb. And it remained inside during the mother's shechita, mutar b'achila, it is also going to be covered by the mother's shechita and you can eat it. However, if one detaches from the mother animal itself and leaves it inside during shechita, minat choyla, from its spleen, minat kleyes, its kidneys, And the Mishnah picks specifically these because even when these are detached and missing, as we learned back in Elo Treifos, the most recent perek, they will not render the mother a treifa. That's why the Mishnah specifically related to these two organs. Minat chol, minat klois, he detached those from within the mother and remained and left them inside. Osra ba'achila, even though they were inside during the mother's shechita, they will not benefit from the mother's shechita. They're eivim minachai, a limb of a live animal. So zaklal, this is the rule. Davar shegufa, osra, something which was detached from the mother animal itself, and even though it remained inside during shechita, it's osra, because once it was stamped as eivim minachai, remains that way permanently. It's irreversible. But if something which is not of the mother animal itself, for instance, the ubar, or something detached from the ubar, that's sort of enveloped in the mother and it's just covered by anything the mother experiences, meaning the shechita of the mother exempts that as well. Amar vidam arav. Back to the first halacha. The ubar stuck his hand out and brought it back. Mishnah says, Mutar v'achil, it's permissible. Amar Rav Yehuda, he quotes Amar Rav, ve'ever atzmai asr. Yeah, that's good for the rest of the ubar who remained inside, but the ever itself, the limb itself, the hand that had come out, would be asr. My time, why? I mean, yeah, it went out, but it came back in. It was inside during the shechita of the mother. My time, makro, the pasuk says, ubasar basada. Flesh that went out into a field, meaning it left its confinement, left its machitzes, it left its environment, it left the mother. It is labeled as treifa. Loisei chelu, you can't eat it. Kimeshe yata, we learn that once something leaves, basar, the basar leaves chutz mechitzase, outside of its confinement. Rashi says this applies to many escapees, like basar of kachim that left the Beis HaMikdash. Anything that's meant to stay within a confined entity, within mechitzas, it leaves, it becomes asr. Kiva shiyotza basar chutz mechitzas, such as his hand that left the mother's habitat, nasar becomes asr permanently. It's irreversible. It's none. Okay, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Beimah makasha leilet, right? Vayitzi ubras yadav yechzira. The hand went out, came back in. Mutar b'achil, you can eat it. What could you eat? My love, let's assume aiver, it's going on the limb itself. So the hand itself is mutter. Does not become permanently asur. Lo ya uber. No, the Mishnah is speaking specifically about the rest of the unborn. But the hand, once asur, always asur. It's eivir menachai. Because once it left the mother, it can no longer be included. It's no longer enveloped within the mother. It gains its own independence, has its own status. It's like a living limb of a live animal. In which case, even after shechita remains as such, it's irreversible. So we thought, my lava eiver, but the eiver itself is mutter. No, loya uber, the eiver remains also, just the uber stays okay. Asks the Gemara, ya uber. If the permissibility indicated in the Mishnah is specific only to the rest of the unborn, so my iria hechzira, why pick a case? Why even bother mentioning where the hand went back in? Why is that relevant to the rest of the unborn? The rest of the unborn would remain mutter even if the hand had not been retracted, had not returned to the mother. You're right. The same exact halacha that the rest of the uber is mutter would be so even if the hand was not returned. So why mention it? Why did the kaboy miss the seifa? It was just, you know, corresponding to the next halacha in the Mishnah, where it needs to mention this idea that it came back, because that highlights the halacha, right? By the head, once it leaves, even though it came back too late. So, on account of that, we mention the return of the hand in this case as well, even though it's not really relevant to the halacha. But I did come home, it's not safe on account of the next halacha in the Mishnah, that when he stuck his head out, that constitutes a birthing experience. Even though he brought it back in, it's considered like born. So on account of that scenario, we also referred referred to a case of Yechzira where the hand came back in. Ask the Gemara. So, you know, the primary focus is the next halacha, v'seifa makamashmon. So what is the great, you know, the lesson in the next halacha. What's the what are we teaching there? The kivan the yotza roishoy havi leido. You're teaching that once the head leaves, it's considered having born. That's old news, Tanina. We already know that. There's a Mishnah in Bechoyrois regarding a firstborn human, the same halacha. The head leaving the mother's womb is considered later. Tanina, so we have a Mishnah. Ezehu Bechor le'nachla ve'en Bechor le'koyhan. So we all know that there are two sort of definitions of a Bechor. It can pertain to Kohanim, which means firstborn human, male is has a kedushas bechor, needs to be redeemed by a kohen. For that, he really needs to be the firstborn, peter rechem, the first one that went through the mother's womb. So the first one that left the mother's womb is considered peter rechem. The one behind them, let's say there are twins, is not. There's another aspect of bechor that pertains to receiving double portion in the father's inheritance. That also pertains to the firstborn, but in a slightly different variation. Rashi brings the Gemara based on a pasuk, Rashi's Oinoi. It's the first where the father connects to him. A viable child who the father emotionally connected to and would be distressed upon his death. So that only pertains to a viable child, a viable firstborn. So sometimes you can have one and not the other. You know, you can have the first viable, but he wasn't necessarily the first one to leave the mother's womb. First one was not viable, so that one was technically the first one, but only for pidyon habet, but not for double inheritance. Whereas a second one no longer is considered the bechor for kayin, but it is bechor for the nachla. Okay, tanina lezeu bechor for nachla. Give me an example of bechor for nachla. Ve'ne bechor l'kayin, but it's not a bechor regarding redemption to the kayin. Haba, so you have like a twin, right? That really was born number two. Haba achan nefalim. Nefel is an unborn fetus who hasn't really completed his full term. He's not really considered viable. So that one came out first. That one became the Peter Rechem. And the next one, his twin brother, he's number two, but he's the first viable. So he came after the Nefel, after the unviable. Even though the first one, the unviable one, his head came out alive. Rashi says he went back in. And then the number two came out. So in this case, the first one was technically Peter Rechem. He came through the womb first. And the second one is no longer considered really the first regarding coins, only regarding inheritance. Or suppose this one here, the number two, came after a Ben Tes, Shiyotzer Reshemes. The one that preceded him was a full-term 9-month fetus whose head came out unalive. So once again, the first one is considered the first birth in terms of the mother. In which case, the second one behind him is no longer the bechor for kayin, but is a bechor for nachla. Now let's make a diuk. Let's make an observation in this Mishnah. Time of the Rashi Meis. The reason why this twin brother, the second one, is not a bechor for kayin, that's because the one that preceded him it came out first. And since he was not alive when he came out, Rashi Meis, so the second one, at least he gets the Nachla privileges. Because it wasn't a proper birth. It was enough for Peter Rechem. It wasn't a proper birth regarding viability and Nachla, right? So that goes to the second brother. Ha Rosh Chai. However, suppose number one would have come out with his head alive. Now that would have been considered a full birth regarding all matters, Kayin and Nachla. In which case, number two that follows, Haba Achrav, would have no Bechar status at all, not for Kayin and not for Nachla. Haba Achrav, the one that comes behind him, Bechar la Nachla namigli habi, is nothing, not even for Nachla. What do we see from here? Birthing of the head constitutes Leida, it's a Leida experience. Okay, so that's been established already. Why do we need that halacha in our Mishnah once again, that the, you know, birthing of the head constitutes an act of birthing? You know, Chitema says the Gemara. Perhaps, you know, there's human and there's animal, different experience, and you have to teach us, you know, this principle by an Adam and by a Behemoth. Chitema, perhaps you can say Ashminan ba'Adam. That Mishnah teaches us this halacha, the birthing of the head, even if it came back in, but once the head is out, it's considered a birth. Ashminan by Be'adam, v'kamash blon, and now Mishnah, it's coming to apply to a behema as well, a behema. Perhaps you can't equate, you can't learn one from the other. It's a different experience, a different configuration. The Adam be behema le'yolef, perhaps you cannot learn Adam from behema. Dein proizdar le'behema, Rashi explains. By a behemoth, as soon as the head comes out, it's open, it's revealed, it's exposed, there are no thighs blocking the area. Perhaps that's considered a birthing experience. But by a human, it's different. Perhaps it wouldn't. On the other hand, a behemoth may Adam lay alpha. Likewise, you wouldn't be able to learn behemoth from Adam. Why? Because a person's head, his face, that has substance, that has significance, a form of a human. So once that leaves the mother, that's considered a full birth. Right? You can't learn behemoth from an Adam. The chashiv, parts of the face, the form, panim, the day, the form of the face has chashivas, has significance. So that is sufficient to render it a leida. And perhaps by behemoth you don't say that. Well, says the Gemara, we have another halacha stated elsewhere that, yeah, applies even by behema. Honami tanina, it's been learned elsewhere as well. Shulya shiotsa miktsas, so shulya is the embryonic sac. Contains the embryo, contains the fetus, the unborn animal. So even if part of it left the mother, asura ba'achila, and went back in, or whatever, right? Rashi says, no, even if it only partly went out, but the part that's left inside, you can't eat it, you can't eat what's inside, because since the shulya contains the fetus, we have a concern that perhaps in that small section that already left the mother was contained the head of the unborn animal. And once the head leaves, it is born. It can no longer be covered by the mother's shechita. Kesimon. Why? Kesimon vlad be'isha. The same exact indicator of birth by a woman. Meaning the protrusion of the head. Likewise, that constitutes an indication of birth by a behemoth. There you go. We equate the two. Protrusion of the head is considered a birthing experience. So back to our question. Once we know this fact that Yitzias HaRoish, whether it's by Adam or by behemoth, is considered a leida. So, in our Mishnah, again, we have the two parts. We have the hand leaving and coming back, the head leaving and coming back. According to Rav, when the Mishnah says that when the hand leaves, it's mutter, it doesn't mean the hand. The hand remains usser. Because it's like Eivim Nachai, it's a Pasik, Besad the Trefa, right? It's just the rest of the Uber, which is Mutter. So why did the Mishnah have to even discuss returning of the hand? Why is that relevant? Well, on account of the next halacha, the head leaves and comes back in, even though it's returned to its place, it's still considered birth. Well, you know, that's a halacha, that's a known halacha already. that the protrusion of the head constitutes an act of loida. We know it by the Adam, we know it by Rehema. So, I amras b'shlemim hechziru the reisha dafka. Even fact, the Mishnah's reference in the first halach of the hand returning to the mother is dafka. It's needed for its own sake. Yeah, so then, and i.e., that's because, not like Rav, unlike Rav, rather the hand itself is also mutter, and the it's only because it came back into the mother, because it went back in, it was there during Shkita, it's mutter. So if in fact we'll go unlike Rav, and the Mishnah specifically referred to the return of the hand, so that the hand itself becomes mutter, okay, then we could understand why in the second case of the Mishnah where the head came out, on account of the Reisha. So on account of the previous case, in the second case as well, the Mishnah referred to the return of the head, even though it's such a simple halacha, we all know it from other places, right? Tano Seifa to Reisha. Okay? Eli Amr's Loi de Reisha Dafk, Loi de Seifa Dafk. However, according to you, according to Rav's approach to the Mishnah, once the hand leaves, it becomes permanently, irreversibly us. Irrespective of whether it went back into the mother or not, it has no impact. So why even mention that it went back into the mother? So it's not dafka, meaning there's no real lesson here, right? And likewise in the next halacha, there's no real lesson there either. The head returned, and who cares? We already know that from the other halachas, other Mishnah, other places that once the head leaves, it's considered late, even though it came back. Eli Amr's Loi the Reisha Dafka. The reference to the return of the limb to the mother in the first case of the Mishnah, the first halacha by the hand, is not really needed for its own sake. V'loi the Seifa Dafka nor is the reference to the return of the head in the next case needed for its own sake? Why bother mentioning that things returned back? What's the point of mentioning the return? Loi, loi, says the Gemara, no, loi lema upar. We're going to stick with Rav's approach. When the hand left and came back in, the hand remains irreversibly us. The rest of the Uber is what's mutter. Uber, ask you a question. What's the significance of the hand coming back? I'll tell you, there is a halachic difference here between when the hand stays out or comes back in. The hand is awesome. You have to cut it off. But what about the mokem chatach, the cutoff point? Right, the face of the interior part of that limb, which is sort of facing the part that's being cut off. It's exposed to the cut-off part. That cut-off point is asur mutar. You have to slice another sliver along with the arm that left, or is that related to the part inside, which is mutar? So it depends. You know what it depends on? Whether the hand went back in or not. Because if the hand stayed out, the hand becomes Aser, becomes Eva Menachai, Trefa, right? And likewise, the part that's facing that, the cutoff spot, the surface that's facing that section of that limb, it's also sort of exposed to the outside as Aser. Whereas if the hand went back in, that part is spared. Only the part that actually was outside has to be detached, removed, and it's Aser. But the face of the section right behind it relates to the inside of the animal, and it's okay. That's how the Iran explains. And that will be the difference between whether it stayed out or came back in. Ukud Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, as he tells us soon in the Gemara later, Lenitzruch is only needed elamokim chatach regarding the cutoff point itself. Hachanamir as well. Lenitzruch, the point here is elamokim chatach. It's needed for the cutoff spot. So again, according to Rav, the Uber stuck his hand out, the hand becomes Asr. But the Mokim Chatach, which is sort of facing that section. What's the status of it? It depends. If it stayed outside, so that part sort of relates to the outside as well. But if it went back in, so that part relates to the inside, because it's not physically outside, right? So it relates to the inside. And merely that section that actually was outside has to be detached. Toshma. We have another akasha on Rav. From the halacha, which says like this. Behema makasha leilid. Okay, so the mother animal experiencing labor pains. Voitzi uber es yadoi. The uber sticks his hand. Vexira brings it back. And vachach shalos. Imo edeni shechta the mother. Mut ba'achili can eat it. Shochadas imoi ba'achakach vexira. Suppose, first they shechta the mother and then he pulled his hand back in. Osir ba'achili can't eat it. We'll explain it all in a minute. Now let's say the hand was outside. He detached it. Okay, this time he severed it. He detached it. And then he shechted the mother animal. So the part that he removed is Eber Menachai. Eber Menachai is tummy like an avela. Shebechutz, the part that was outside, tummy is tummy. V'asr, you can't eat it. Shebefnim, but the one behind it, inside, is Torah Mutter, is perfectly fine. Although, it was in touch with the part that was outside, which is metame, but as Rashi says, on the bottom line, live animals, live things don't become tummy, only humans, only Bnei Yisrael, who have a higher kedusha and a special system of tumah that we have even during our lifetime, but a goya, behema, they don't become tummy mechaim. Shemechaim lekibot tumas oichlan. Right? However, here comes the fourth and final case. Suppose first he shechted the mother animal, then he detached the part that was sitting outside, the turntumin base. In this case, abasa magan avela. The whole basa, everything, the mother and the uber that was in touch with this section that was technically Eber Menachai that was tummy, got affected by it because it was still in contact after the shechita, which case it's like basar. And Basra becomes tummy if it touched something which is metame. Habasa magan avela, it's like it touched an avela. Dirameir, chamayim magatrei for shchuta, not so severe. The fact is, the shchita on the mother did impact what's going on inside. Meaning, even the hand that was stuck outside can still be somewhat incorporated into the mother's shchita. Because at worst, it's just treifa, the status of treifa, and the halacha is. But even an animal who's really a treifa, you know, like has a real defect, which makes it a treifa, which is asr ba'achila, or if you do shchita on it, it spares it from becoming an avela. It's just a treifa shchuta. What's the halacha of a treifa that was shechta? Rashi says it's only mitamim derabbanan. Okay. By kachim. Okay. In any case, tani mia, let's recap this price. Let's go back to the ratio. The first part said like this. Hoytzi uber siyad v'yichziru. The uber stuck his hand out and brought it back in. And then came the shkita of the mother animal. It's permissible. Now, what is permissible? The hand itself, too? My lab. I mean, let's assume aaver. It's referring to the limb as well. Unlike Rav, loy noa uber. It's only on the rest of the uber. But the aaver itself that left the animal stays asr. Like Rav. Ask the Gemara, yeah, uber. Well, if the Braisa is referring only to the uber, which is now permissible. Emo Seifa. Let's proceed to the next halach in the Braisa. Shachadas imoy v'achakach echziroi. Suppose you shechted the mother animal and then the hand came back in. Osur b'achil, you can't eat it. Now, you're telling me the Braisa, in speaking about permissibility, is speaking about the rest of the unborn? So in this case, when it says osur, it also means the rest of the unborn is osur. Why? Why in the world would the rest of the unborn be usher just because the hand went out? Vi uber, right? Usher b'achila. Vi uber, if we're speaking about the uber, am I usher? Why it becomes us? Says the more you write. The rest of the uber remains mutter, of course, but we're talking about the cutoff point. That cutoff point will be usher as well because, as we explained before, that was exposed, that sort of relates to the section that left. And since it was still outside during the mother shechita, so the cutoff point as well relates to that. Kedomer of Nachmar Yitzchak, as I'll tell us soon in the next Gemara, Lenitzrucha, it's only needed lokim chatach regarding the cutoff point. The Chanami as well. Of course, the rest of the animal inside is unaffected. It's just the cutoff point becomes affected as well. Chanami Lenitzrucha, it's only needed lokim chatach, the cutoff point. Eini says the Gemara with a avakash. Kashan Rabu says that the hand that went out of the mother remains permanently asur like a treifa. Vaki also avimi, when avimi came mibay from the place of kol chuzoi, also he came vaisi. Must seems to be other. He came along with a halacha. What a brayse, which is based on the pasuk, which reads like this. The pasuk says v'chol behema mafresas parsa, right? A behema with split hooves, v'shasas shesa, shtei prosays, two hooves, right? Split. Mala sker, right? Behema oisa techil. Now, what is the pasuk first mention? My first is parsa, which is singular, one parsa, then it says shtei prosays, two prosays. What's going on? And Rashi brings that actually in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara will learn, at least according to one version of the Gemara there, from this pasuk that a ben pekua, right, that the unborn discovered within the mother animal after shechita becomes mutter. How do we see it from this pasuk? The pasuk begins with v'chal behema, a behema, an unborn, and then it says later ba behema within the same pasuk. So we learn behema, ba behema, an animal within another animal is covered by the other animal's shechita. Now, why does the pasuk say parsa and then parsois? So once again, Rashi explains that the Gemara will learn from here. Sometimes the whole unborn is permissible. For instance, if it's all inside by the mother shechita, sometimes not. Sometimes only parasoi. You can only eat one foot. That's speaking where only one foot came back in, the other one stayed outside. So if they were stuck out and both came back in, you can eat them both. But if only one came back, one stayed out during the shechita, you can't eat that one. You can only eat parsa. Okay, so back to the Gemara. When the pasuk says parsa, that single leg, parsa means hechser. Hechser, if you brought back that single leg, you can only eat that one, not the one that remained outside. Echa, prasa is hechser. If he retracted both legs into the mother animal during the shechita, echol, you can eat them both. My love, let's assume, what does the braisa mean? Hechzir parsa, echol. Parsa. If he brought back one foot, you can eat that foot. Because it was inside during the shechita, lo hechzir parsa. But if he didn't bring back his foot at all, it stayed outside, echol uber, you can eat the uber. Sorry. Let's go back. My love, let's assume. The braisa means like this: hechzir parsa, echol parsa. That if, let's say, he stuck both feet out, and he brought back in one, only one parsa, echol parsa, you can eat that one. So again, as long as it was inside during the shechita, it's okay. And unlike Rabu says, once outside, always outside. Loi. No, that's not what the braisa means. The braisa means like this. The feet are off limits. Once outside, always outside. Loi hechzir parsa. If he brought his foot back in, echal uber, you can eat the rest of the uber, says the Gemara. Hold it, eat uber. If we're talking about eating the rest of the uber, my area hechser, why bother bringing your foot back in? I feel like, so now even if he didn't bring his foot back in, the rest of the uber does not become affected by his escapee foot. Amar nachma yitzchak. Oh, here it is. Lenitzricha. The gain is the cutoff point. Sure, the rest of the uber always remains mutter, but the cutoff point, that's the questionable aspect here. It's only nidr l'makim chatach. And that's what the braisa means. So the unborn stuck his feet out and brought them both back in. So the makim chatach on both legs are okay. He brought only one foot back in. So only that makim chatach is okay. But the makim chatach of the one that stayed outside is also, because it relates to outside. Says the Gemara. So why does the braisa, why does the pasuk have to speak about parso and parsois? I mean, we just repeated it. It's just a redundancy. Makim chatach by one foot, makim chatach by 2 feet. It's the same concept. Why present them in two different, you know, variations? So why did the braisa have to cite two psukim for the same concept? I mean, it's all one point that if the limb is back inside, you've speared yourself, you've gained the makim chatach. Whether it's 1 foot, 2 feet, what? My love, let's assume the fact that we have a double reference. Apparently, it relates to the limb as well, not just to the cutoff point. You've spared your limb. meaning if he brought his foot back in, you can eat the foot as well. Unlike Rav. My love, let's assume chad le'eber. One is for the eber itself. Once it's back inside, it's covered by the melech shechita. V'chad le'makach hatach. One is for the makach hatach. They'll tell you that unless you came back in, you're going to lose that makam chatach. Says the Gemara, no. Like, chad le makam chatach. Let's go back with Rav. Even if the foot comes back in, the makam chatach, the foot remains usur. It's just the makam chatach that you've gained. So that's one pasuk. Lo, chad le makam chatach. So when it says prosois, he brought both legs back in. The legs remain also, but the makam chatach you've saved. That's one pasuk. V'chad, and the other part of the pasuk which says parsa. Now parsa indicates that he doesn't have split hooves. What does that mean? You can have something called a kolot. An animal with joint hooves, not split hooves. So he presents as a non-kosher animal. But he's embedded inside a cow. He was born from a kosher animal. What's the status of that type of animal? So that's the second pasuk of Achad. And the pasuk which speaks about a parsa, a single hoof, not a split hoof, is coming to teach us that too is okay. L'kolot me para. A kolot inside the womb of a para. Even though he presents like a non-kosher animal with his non-kosher sign, since he's being mothered by a kosher animal, he's okay. V'alibud Rabbi Shimon. And the point here is to highlight that even according to Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Rabbi Shimon says, kolot ben para asur. Guess what? A kolot born from a para is asur, irrespective of his origin. If he presents as a non-kosher, he's non-kosher. But that's only once he's born, he's on the ground, he has his own identity. He left the mother's environment. He became his own entity. He looks like a non-kosher, you're non-kosher. Aval b'me'imai, shari. But while he's still in the mother's womb, he has no independent identity. He relates back to the mother. Whatever happens to the mother happens with him. Whatever status the mother has, he has. Shari is fully okay. And that's what we learn from the word parsa. Even though he's only a parsa, he's not split, but since he's inside, the behemoth is inside the mother's womb, and he was shechted along with the mother, so to speak, right? The mother's shechita covered him too. He's not his own guy. He has the same identity as the mother, same status as the mother. He's like a piece of meat off the mother's, animal, and he's mutter. Okay, so this concludes our discussion that relates to Rav's opinion in the sugya. A ben pekur discovered within the mother animal after shechita's mutter, provided it stayed inside, it left, his head went out, even though it came back in too late, he's his own person, his own animal, he needs his own shechita. What about the hand went out, or the foot went out? All agree, if it stayed outside during shechita, it's off limits. But if it comes back in, going to Rav, it's like Eva Menachai, and it gets that status permanently. However, according to Ulo coming up, Ulo Amar Yechana, he disagrees. Ve'eva Atzma Mutter. If the animal brought his hand back in, and it was inside during the shechita, even the hand is mutter. Amar le Rav Yehuda le Ulo. I have a question. He says, "Va Rav Shmuel." Both Rav and Shmuel disagree. The Amri Tavai, they both contend Eiver Atzme Aser. The hand remains Aser permanently. Amar le says, with all the greatest respect for Rav Shmuel, for real, he says, "Man Yovlan Ma'avro Rav Shmuel." Who I wish somebody can obtain for us the earth of Rav Shmuel's grave, a malina and Aiden will fill our eyes. We're so full of kavod for Rav Shmuel, greatest respect. But I have a halacha. Halacha and Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. He says, "Akol hoyu b'chlal abasar b'sedet shvei lo yisechelu." He says, "Look, all these different types were included in the pasuk basar basada treifel isachil. Rashi explains he means hakoil hoyu, means anytime there is a mechitza requirement. For instance, you know, karbanos, right? Kodesh kachim, they have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Kachim kalim, lower level of karbanos, and Yushalayim. Maaser sheni, Yushalayim. The unborn animal within the mother to get, you know, to benefit from the mother's shechita. So all these are meant to be confined in a restricted confinement, right? And if they leave, they become, you know, disqualified. Now, kashapart l'cha kosev gabi chatos. But when we, since we find that only by a korb machatos, this is relates to that story, right? The Parsha Shmini, where Moshe Rabbeinu is wondering, he's asking Aaron HaKohen, what happened to the korb machatos? Why do you burn the goat, the soyer chatos? Perhaps did it become possible, did it become tainted by leaving the area, by being taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, in which case I would understand, it would justify why you burnt it. Oh! That indicates that by karbonos, and only by karbonos, once you leave, you're gone. Bringing it back in won't help it, won't reverse its status, won't rectify its disqualification. But that's specific by a karb. But by ubar, which is similar in a sense because he has to have that confinement, if he leaves the area and he comes back in, back to square. Kshepar l'cha akazav abichatu, and Torah specified by achatus, shiyatzachus, one says, which was taken out of its confinement, v'chazra, even if it came back in, asur, it remains asur, chatus, the part of brachman abba. That's specific by achatus, which Torah specifies that leaving makes it permanently asur. Avol kol midah, by other aspects of this halacha, for instance, by the unborn animal, kiva d'had or shari. Sure, if it's outside during the mother's shechita, it can't be covered, but once it's back in, it's mutar. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav. He says the hand that left and came back in and was inside during the mother's shechita is mutar. Meisvei comes akasha on this point. Basa, basa, the trefel yisechel, we can't eat basa, which was outside, which left the area. Matam aloymar, why mention the word trefa? Why is that relevant to, you know, this discussion? Could have said basa basada, a basa which is out of the area, which left its confinement, left its mechitzas, don't eat it. Why add the word trefa, this, you know, sort of descriptive term that relates it to trefa? The answer is to give it permanence. Matamalema. What's the message? Lifishamatsinu b'masa sheni ubikur. We find in other instances of items, of materials, which are meant to be contained within a confined area, like masa sheni. Yushalayim, bikurim, yushalayim. Shabbos yotzuk, someone says, even though they're taken out of the area. But once they're back home, b'chazru mutar, you can eat them, no problem. They're not permanently tainted by that trip. Yochal afsakein, perhaps, in this case as well. This is the Uber that we're talking about. If he leaves, the mother, but then goes back in, he can be covered by the mother shechita. Talmud loyma, comes the pasuk and adds a very harsh word, treifa. We all know treifa is that defective animal. That's a permanent status. It's irreversible, unrectifiable. My Talmud, how do we learn from treifa? Marabba, just like, so the unborn that left the mother is just like ketreifa. Ma treifa, just like by treifa, kimishin for once it had treifas. Status. Shemeng leheter doesn't have permissibility. It's not rectifiable. It's irreversible. Ah, basar. Same thing with the basar out of the mother. Kibash Yatzel says, once he left the mother's habitat, shemeng leheter, you can't rectify it. And that's a tuyufta. It's a refutation on Ula, who claimed otherwise. Ula held that even if the hand left the mother, but once it's back in, he's safe and sound. We have a right from this brisa, so like Rav. That's the conclusion. But Bekur is only mutter. If he was always inside, but if any part of him left the mother, even if it was brought back in during Shechita, it's stamped permanently like a treifa, even menachai, which is irreversible. Okay, let's go back and clarify this braisa again. In contrast to masa sheni bikurim, where even if they were transported out of Yerushalayim, but once they're back in, they're safe and sound, and they're edible. Hey, how do we know that to be true? perhaps wants to rat her out. The Pasuk says, warns against eating these materials in your, you know, your cities outside your Yerushalayim, Masr Deganecha, to tell you, don't eat them outside. But the fact that it left Yerushalayim on its own would not be a disqualifying factor. Because if it was taken back inside, Mutarni can eat them. Fine. Bima Rava Masnuhach. In Eretz Yisrael, that is a slightly different version of the machlokes between Rav, who considers the hand to be permanently Aser, versus Rabbi Yechanan, who says it could be rectified by bringing it back into the mother animal. How did this version go? Rav Amar, Rav says, Yesh Leda Leivarim, once a limb leaves the mother, it's considered like it's born. That hand was birthed and is no longer covered by the mother Shechita, irrespective of whether it was brought back in or not. Versus Rabbi Yechanan Amar, he says, Yesh Leda Leivarim. Leda is the whole animal, or the primary feature of the animal, the head, but just a secondary limb, like a hand, it's not considered born, even though it left the mother. Therefore, if it's retracted, if it's taken back inside, he's back to normal. It sounds like they're just repeating themselves. It's just another version of the same machlokes, but there is a nafkamina. So the Gemara, what's the difference between the first version of the machlek and the second version? You can bring out the difference like this. Lemeisar miut eva shebifnim. Suppose the hand came out, but not the whole hand. 51%, most of the hand. And 49% of that same hand remained inside. So what happens? According to Rav, it's like the hand was born. I mean to say that if most of the hand was outside, the whole hand is born. We don't split that limb into two. We follow the majority. The hand is mostly outside, it's completely outside, it's born, it's aser. According to Rabbi Yechanan, no. Only that section that was outside would be a problem. Now comes a new question. According to Rabbi Yechanan, says there's no birthing by limbs. So what would happen if the impatient Uber stuck his hand out and brings it back, and then sticks out hand number two and takes it back, until at the end of the day most of the animal, if you reckon all the limbs that he stuck out one at a time, so in totality you have 51% of that Uber that happened to see the daylight. But now it's all back in. What's the status of that Uber? Shall we say, honafakli ruba? At the end of the day, 51% of that unborn was very outside, although incrementally, piecemeal, but ultimately, cumulatively, he was born. Or you can say, given the hada hada. Once he's back in, he's back in. And this is based on Ein Leda Leivarim. So each hand, each foot on its own is not considered born. You need 51% of the Uber. So that's considered that he was born. But in this case, it wasn't all at once. It was incremental. Each part on its own, by itself, is not considered Leda. Do you just ignore it? You discount it? Do you say, well, cumulatively, it is 51% of the totality of the Uber is considered born? Interesting question. If you'll assume that, you know, once he brought them back in, that cancels each one as it comes back in, and we don't tally it up. What about the next case? His hand comes out, somebody chops it off. Next hand comes out, somebody detaches that. So he never got a chance to take it back in. And the same thing happened. Ultimately, it was 51% of the totality of the unborn. So he gets to 51%. Ma, what's the status now? Shall we say, ultimately, 51% of the entirety of the animal was outside. Is outside. Or you can say, it wasn't a one shot. Rubu v'asachas bina. We need to be roiv in one go. Here was incremental, piecemeal. Rashi says this applies even to Rav, that birthing of the hand is considered birthing, but here, by the time the next hand came out, the first hand was not relevant, it was detached. Can we sort of combine them or not? Toshmai comes at Raya. We turn to the next page, Zaklal. Look at our Mishnah. That was the last and final conclusion of the Mishnah there. That the Shechita of the mother animal covers anything of its own guf, right? Zaklal, Dabashugufa Asr. Something that had been detached from the mother animal's body, like its spleen, like its kidneys, that we discussed in the Mishnah. That's Eiver Menachai. It's a live piece of a mother's. It's Eiver Menachai. It's not covered by the Shechita. Dabar Shegufa Asr, She'enu Gufa Mutar. But something which is separate from its own, you know, body, meaning it relates to the unborn child. Whether the unborn child is animal is intact or dissect, it doesn't matter. It's sort of enveloped in the mother and it's part of the mother's flesh and covered by the Shechita. She'enu Gufa is Mutar. Now, what's the Mishnah coming to add with this, you know, sort of grand conclusion? She'ein gufa l'suyumai. What's the Mishnah referring to in saying that the mother's shkita covers anything which is separate from the mother's body? My love, let's assume it's covering this exotic case just discussed. My love, l'suy kai gavno. To teach us that even if ultimately most of it left and was left outside, doesn't matter. Whatever is inside is covered by the mother shechita. We don't consider it to have been born. Loi said the no. Perhaps it's covering a different case altogether. Also, you call it mepara. It's related to the exotic case of a fellow who discovered inside the parah. He discovered a kalot, a newborn with joint hooves, who presents like a non-kosher animal. I'll leave it to Rav Shimon. And this is related to Rav Shimon, who says typically it's an issue, but here it's not, because it's still enveloped in the mother during the Shechita. The Avagav, although Dam Rav Shimon, he says, Kolot b'mei ben parah asur, or Kolot the son of a parah is asur, that's only when he walks and talks like a non-kosher animal, if he's still in the mother. He's enveloped in the mother's environment, and the mother's entity. He has no self-identity. Hani b'lechad yatzel v'oilu, that's only if he's born. And asserts his independence as a non-kosher animal. Aval b'mei imoy shayu, if he's still in his mother's entry during the Shechita, totally muta, irrespective of how he presents himself. Okay. So we don't have really a raya regarding our exotic scenarios. Okay, in summation, a ben pekuah is muta v'achila, without Shechita, he's covered by the mother's Shechita, provided he was inside and remained unborn. But if the head came out, that constitutes a lady, even if it went back in. Born is born, he needs his own shechita. What about yadai that came out? Well, if it stayed out, it certainly is asr. However, if it came back in, Rav says it remains asr, like Eiver Menachai, which is a permanent, irreversible status, whereas a Ula, quoting Rabbi Yechon, disagreed, and the Gemara concluded, based on a brisa, that we pass on like Rav, once out, always out. Okay, all the best to you and atzlacha rab.